This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 28th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, how Chicago is mapping some of its wild places, and there are wild places in Chicago. Also, we'll get a look at our forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. Urbana Mayor Laurel Prussing says she supports a cut in the city's property tax rate to match the cut endorsed by Champaign City Council this week. Last week, the Urbana City Council approved an estimated tax levy that would keep the property tax rate steady at around $1.31 for every $100 of assessed valuation. But Champaign, which has an identical property tax rate, voted this week in favor of lowering that rate to around $1.29. Prussing says she supports the same for Urbana, as long as it doesn't threaten city services.
Urbana is now getting its results from the last fiscal year, and we did a little bit better on revenues. So I think it's something that we can afford to do. We don't want to have our rate be higher than Champaign's. So if Champaign's going to set a slightly lower rate, I think Urbana would want to do the same.
Because of rising assessments, the cut in the tax rate would not mean a cut in the tax bill for most property owners, but the reduction would limit the average increase in property tax bills to the rate of inflation. Prussing says a proposal to cut the Urbana property tax rate could come up at the October 9th council meeting. Meanwhile, Urbana Alderman Charlie Smythe says a ban on cell phones while driving should include one that outlaws use of hands-free devices, too. He's proposing an ordinance that would fine anyone who uses the phone at all behind the wheel. He calls the measure a start, but adds he'd like to see such a ban taken up by Illinois legislators.
Clearly, this would be most effective at the state level. Clearly, it'd be effective if the insurance companies all said, we're not going to insure you if you're in an accident with a cell phone. That's the kind of thing I'd like to see this go to.
Smythe says even if a motorist uses a hands-free device, they're distracted and not completely engaged in the act of driving. The proposal would mean a $75 fine for anyone caught driving with a cell phone. Those involved in an accident could be fined up to $200 more. Local educators attending a roundtable in Urbana last night put education funding reform at the top of their list of concerns they want the Illinois gubernatorial candidates to consider. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The Speak Out for Illinois Schools Coalition organized the roundtable discussion, the last of six such meetings it's held with local educators around the state. Coalition spokeswoman Samantha Anderson says educators at all six meetings called for raising the state income tax to better fund education while lowering property taxes. But she says other concerns varied from city to city.
What we saw tonight in Urbana is actually a little different from what we've seen in some places. There was more focus on mentoring and on social services both inside and outside of schools. Whereas in places like Rockford, for example, we saw concern about class sizes and school construction.
Anderson says they'll send the results of the education roundtables to Governor Rod Blagojevich, Republican challenger Judy Bar Topinka, and Green Party candidate Rich Whitney. Speak Out for Illinois Schools also wants the candidates to appear together at a forum to discuss education issues. But that forum, originally scheduled for tonight, has been postponed while negotiations with the candidates continue. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A hearing over the Champaign School District's consent decree will take place outside the typical federal courtroom. Judge Joe Billy McDade has decided to hold the October 19th hearing at the University of Illinois College of Law, where spokesman Dave Johnson says the public will get a chance to see the proceedings in a remote room while the hearing itself takes place in an auditorium.
Those seats are all being held for both sides in the case. They're being allowed, I believe, 60 seats apiece to fill, and those seats will be taken up by the actual litigants and interested parties.
Johnson says the College of Law hosts annual legal proceedings a few times a year. In 2 weeks, the state appellate court will hold hearings there. During the consent decree hearing, the auditorium will be open to onlookers on a first-come, first-served basis, but cameras and microphones won't be allowed, and comments will be limited to written statements pre-submitted to the court. Unit 4 is presenting its progress report on complying with the consent decree, which was designed to address issues of racial equity in the schools. Details of a new two-year contract between Rantoul Township High School's teachers and school board have been released. Union spokesman Gene Vanderport says teachers will see an increase of more than $1,300 in year one, a little bit more in the second year. Insurance is covered for both years. The school board approved the contract Monday night after teachers ratified it last week. But Vanderport says the contract didn't include a percentage increase to keep up with inflation, which he says won't help with the school's turnover rate. University of Illinois faculty, healthcare professionals, engineers, and artists are among those spending a few days addressing the issues that surfaced in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. AM580's Jeff Bossert has more.
The four-day summit involves several academic disciplines and connects the U of I to faculty at 12 other campuses through a kind of video conferencing. Today's events include a seminar on the use of the mobile surge hospital. One was sent from Illinois to Baton Rouge last year after Katrina hit. Meanwhile, the university's National Center for Supercomputing Applications will simulate digital storms and analyze how they strike. But the summit will also incorporate the arts, including a presentation from a New Orleans poet and an evening jazz performance. Summit Chair Allison Clark.
It is an academic conference, but it isn't. It is a community event, but it isn't. We've combined the different elements in the tradition of Louisiana, a gumbo, if you will.
Clark says it's her hope that bringing together a variety of backgrounds will produce a better dialogue on areas like social justice and the need for community healing. A full list of events is available online at katrinasummit.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. One of the biggest cities in the U.S. is trying out a new approach to protect its natural areas. Rebecca Williams of the Environment Report tells us the city's mapping out the hidden little places that get overlooked.
You might forget you're in Chicago as you walk up the path to the Magic Hedge. It's a big honeysuckle hedge planted as screening for a missile base on this land that juts out into Lake Michigan like a crooked finger. When the Army left in the 70s, the hedge grew wilder. Migrating birds have been going nuts over this little area ever since.
It's kind of like a bird motel, you know, where on their trips, you know, they can stop and rest and kind of re-energize before they take off again. So it's just a wonderful natural oasis, you know, within this very dense urban city.
Jerry Adelman's been a fan of green space in the city for decades. He's the chair of Mayor Richard Daley's Nature and Wildlife Committee. 2 years back, Adelman suggested making a comprehensive inventory of Chicago's last remaining scraps of habitat.
We have some of the rarest ecosystems on the globe, tallgrass prairie remnants, oak savanna, some of our wetland communities and so forth are extraordinarily rare, rarer than the tropical rainforest. And yet they're here in our forest preserves and our parks, and in some cases, unprotected.
Chicago officials recently unveiled a new plan to protect these little places in the city. The Nature and Wildlife Plan highlights 100 sites, adding up to almost 5,000 acres. Most of the sites are already part of city parks or forest lands, but until recently, they didn't have special protection. Kathy Dickut is with Chicago's planning department. She says before Chicago's recent zoning reform, these sites the city wanted to protect were zoned as residential or commercial areas. Now, they're zoned as natural areas.
Buildings aren't allowed. Parking lots aren't allowed. This area is not going to be zoned for any other active use, whereas other parts of the parks, you know, we have field houses, we have zoos, we have ball fields, but in these areas, we're not going to have structures.
Dickut says even though land's at a premium in the city, the planning department hasn't run into a lot of opposition with the new habitat plan. She says she just got a lot of blank looks. Local officials were surprised the city wanted these small pockets of land. And that actually worked in the city's favor. The city's been able to acquire new lands for habitat that no one else wanted.
As a rule, we don't like to take, you know, the throwaways for parks and habitat. But, you know, in some cases, habitat lands work well in places where other things won't work well. If you've got a road and the river and a very skinny piece of land that won't fit anything else, well, that would be good for habitat, because anywhere where you have land meet water is good for habitat.
The city's also turning an old parking lot back into sand dunes and elevated train embankments into strips of green space. And though some of this land isn't exactly prime real estate, the city does get donations with a little more charisma. In Chicago's industrial southeast side, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service discovered bald eagles nesting in the area for the first time in a century. The birds were nesting on a 16-acre plot owned by Middle Steel USA. The city got the company to donate the land. Lou Schorsch is a CEO of the steel company.
Of course, you always would like to keep the option that, you know, at some point it's close to the facility, facility expands, you could put a warehouse there, whatever. But again, we had no immediate plans, and I think when the city approached us, given this unique circumstance of the eagles returning to nest there, frankly, it was a relatively easy decision for us.
Surplus land and a symbolic bird helped the city's cause in this case. But the city's nature and wildlife chair, Jerry Edelman, hopes this can be the beginning of a national trend. Edelman says preserving remnants of habitat on industrial lands fits into Mayor Daley's larger green vision for the city. It's a vision Jerry Edelman thinks doesn't have to be at odds with the city's industrial past.
I've had friends who have come visit, and they think of Chicago as, you know, sort of this industrial center, the city of big shoulders, gangsters and whatever. And then they suddenly see this physical city that's so beautiful. Our architecture, of course, is world famous, but also our public spaces, our natural areas, our parks, I think, are becoming world famous as well.
But Edelman admits it's early yet. It's too soon to know how well these remnants of land will function as habitat and what the city might need to do to make them better. He says it's important to provide green spaces for birds and bugs, but these places are even more important for the people who live in Chicago, especially people whose only contact with wildlife might be in the city. For The Environment Report, I'm Rebecca Williams.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
See a chance of a shower or two in our forecast for today, according to AM580's Mike Sola, mostly in the south, southern Illinois and Indiana. Cloudy today, cool, scattered showers and highs ranging from only 53 in northwest Illinois to 63 in the south. For tonight, in northern and eastern Indiana, mostly cloudy with areas of drizzle or a few showers, but elsewhere clear to partly cloudy and cold with areas of patchy frost developing overnight. Lows ranging from 33 in northwest Illinois to 44 in northern Indiana. For tomorrow in northern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy with a few lake-enhanced showers. Elsewhere, though, partly to mostly sunny, and Friday's highs ranging from 56 in northern Indiana to 67 in southern Illinois. Looking ahead to Saturday, cloudy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Again, most numerous in the north and central sections, but partly sunny for Sunday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 28th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.